Blog Talk Radio.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, don't concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way. A letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, don't concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way.
Movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life. This is movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life.
Word is
any kind of activity that takes place on the floor of the Congress or the Senate, that's the government. Any kind of dilly-dallying, that's the government. Any kind of pussyfooting, that's the government. Any kind of act that's designed to delay, or deprive you and me right now of getting full rights, that's the government that's responsible. And any time you find the government involved in a conspiracy,
turn, I can never go back. Life without parole, upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. Fuck that, I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far, there ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfucker, made me out of self-righteous hatred. And now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix. A suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, are you not ready?
DJ Tony Drake.
This is DJ Tony Drake, a.k.a. Mr. Top Shelf himself. And right now, you're in tune to Your World News, where journalism and activism are not mutually exclusive. Here on yourworldnews.org.
You can't tell me life was meant to be like this. A black man in a world dominated by whiteness. Ever since the Declaration of Independence, we've been easily brainwashed by just one sentence. It goes, all men are created equal. That's why corrupt governments kill innocent people. With chemical warfare, they created crack and AIDS. Got the public thinking these were things that black folks made. And every time there's violence shown in the media, usually it's a black thing. So where are they leading you? To a world full of ignorance, hatred and prejudice. TV and the news for years they have fed you this foolish notion that blacks are all criminals, violent lowlifes, and then even animals. I'm telling the truth, so some suckers are fearing me, but I must do my part to combat the conspiracy.
Another edition of Your World News in conjunction with the Unite TV Media Collective, where students, college students, you know, chime in and help out with a lot of the heavy lifting that we at Your World News have been doing for quite some time, and it's great again to have another dynamic college undergraduate student in the studio today. Not to just sit here and observe, but also to be the co-pilot in driving this progressive, radical, revolutionary ship, you know, towards exposing our audience to a lot of different perspectives, but also allowing our audience, you, to expose us to perspectives and information, and that's what it's all about. This is exactly what the corporate media does not do. It filters out large you know, pockets of critical information because they don't want the American populace. They don't want the populace within the United States to be critically engaged in a range of issues. And you know, we have a doozy today. I mean, it's been a long time. You know, forgive us if it's been a long time, but if you've been following yourworldnews.org, you understand a lot of the stuff that we've been doing the past several months has been on the video realm. But, we can't elude our roots. This is where we started. We started as a podcast. We started as a podcast, and you know, we'll always be in some shape, form, or fashion linked to that. And so we're just returning to our roots today. It's been a long time. Just because we do a lot of video does not mean we've abandoned the podcast, our podcast roots. But with that being said, I want to welcome on Miranda Milio, and if I'm pronouncing that improperly, definitely correct me when it's when you get on the microphone. She's a junior at the University of Maryland. She's the president of SJP, and if you don't know what SJP stands for, that acronym means Students for Justice in Palestine, a very, very important organization nationwide, globally. It's very, very, very important, and maybe she'll bequeath us with some of the information surrounding her organization and why, you know, she decided to become involved, and also why, you know, she is at the helm of that organization now as the chapter president at the University of Maryland. So, without further ado, welcome to Your World News, Miranda.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk about this important issue today, maybe relate it back to SJP, like you said, Students for Justice in Palestine, and what we as students can do on campus to be organizing more for people.
Right. No problem. And this will be one of many. So, you know, this is where you cut your teeth on, you know, on your podcast roots yourself, and you know, looking forward to having you on, you know, many times more moving forward. So it's no secret, if you look at the header of today's show, it's not a secret. This show is going to, you know, we're going to continue the conversation that's been going on for some time, but I think from a radically different perspective than what's put out there by the corporate media, and I want to say the corporate media because there are a lot of different alternative media outlets that are doing some really good work in terms of putting out some very, very important narratives and perspectives that need to be linked to what is going on with the so-called national anthem protests, Colin Kaepernick, that young brother doing some really important work, you know, in terms of being the spark behind this and you know, very, very righteous in his protest. As a matter of fact, and we're going to get into this, we're going to get into the derivation of why he did this, you know, looking at, you know, police brutality, injustice, especially looking at police brutality levied upon people of color throughout the United States. But even before we get there, and Miranda, we've had this conversation, before we even get to Colin Kaepernick and his noble and very much righteous protest of the national anthem, you know, going back and saying, listen, until this country, until this song stands for, you know, and this flag stands for what it's supposed to be, you know, justice for all, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all this stuff, all these little catch terms that can be called out of the Declaration of Independence and you know, what the national anthem is really, you know, what people mythologically think it's about. We're going to get into that. But until this flag represents justice for all, I'm not standing for this. I'm not standing for this. I'm not standing for the song. I'm not standing for the flag, because you don't play the national anthem without the flag, and you don't have the flag without the national anthem, so they kind of go hand in hand. But Miranda, before we even get to Colin Kaepernick, when you look at that song in and of itself, the Star-Spangled Banner, written by Francis Scott Key. Francis Scott Key, the author of the Star-Spangled Banner. In and of itself, that song has very, very racist roots. Number one, it was written by a man, Francis Scott Key, who was a slave owner. He owned approximately 10 slaves. Don't say he didn't know better. He did know better. He did not see black people, African people, as human beings on the same level as white Americans or Europeans or Euro-Americans, what have you. Saw us very much as pets, as people see pets. Number two, he was a white supremacist, devout white supremacist. Don't take my word, take his words for it. He used his platform as a U.S. attorney to go after any abolitionist, white or black, because he saw that if they won their crusade in terms of abolishing slavery, chattel slavery, one of the most wretched, evil, vile things in mankind and in human history, he saw that if they were able to end that, it was going to impact his bottom line and all the rich white men who also were slave owners. It was going to impact their bottom line, and he did not want that. So he went after them tooth and nail. So much so, you say, okay, well, what does that have to do with the song? And he wrote a beautiful song. No, he didn't write a beautiful song. You can go on now to your computers as you're listening. You can type in the full lyrics to the Star-Spangled Banner, and you can go down to the third stanza, third verse, and he talks about there's no refuge for the slave or the underling. Why did he say that? Well, we know why he said that. He said that because he was very, very much upset about the fact that there would be Africans, there would be enslaved Africans, black people, that would have the temerity, the audacity to abscond and escape from their plantations. And to me, and to you, Miranda, that's the most natural thing that one can do, is try to escape by any means necessary. And so he saw them as being traitors, as treasonous. How dare you escape and then join with the British? Well, why did he join with the British? Why did many enslaved Africans join with the British, whether it was the War of 1812 or back to the so-called Revolutionary War? Because the British had abolished slavery in 1772, going back to the case of Somerset. So they believed that, hey, if the British win, they'll probably abolish slavery here too in the United States. And so, but he saw this delusional warped man with a warped mind saw it as being treasonous, being a traitor, to escape from human bondage. So, these are things that folks need to know about this man, about the lyrics of the song. So to me, I don't see like any black man or woman that knows of the lyrics and knows of the history of Francis Scott Key, even without the whole backdrop that we'll get into in terms of why Colin Kaepernick decided to not stand for the national anthem and not put his hand across his chest, teary-eyed and looking at the U.S. flag. Even before we get to that, you would be justified, being a person of color, not to stand for that song, because why would you stand for a song written by somebody that would have enslaved you, that didn't think that you were a human being? Why would you stand for a song that within its own lyrics talk very, very, with no uncertain terms, talk about, listen, we are going to hunt you down. We're going to hunt you down, and we're going to put you back in the slavery. We're going to hunt you down. There's no refuge for you whatsoever. And then Miranda, those are like some of the worst parts of that song. But then you look in like all the, but even the song, the parts that they sing, the bombs bursting in air. And here's the thing, Miranda, and I'll stop talking, so that you please take the microphone and go with it. But it's kind of like, I wish I could jump through the TV sometimes and just get on a panel and grab the microphone and say something when I hear these buffoons on TV just say the stuff. And when they say, well, look at the protest. you know, they're so peaceful, as if they expect protesters, expect people of color just to be inherently violent. And how hypocritical is that when you look at a country that's violent in and of itself? Its whole history has been violent, and you're going to sit there and you're going to try to, like, in a very patronizing, condescending way, talk about protesters. You know, look, they're so violent. Well, I mean, they're so peaceful. Look, you know, they're so peaceful, and as long as they protest peacefully, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. Well, you know what? Yeah, they are protesting peacefully. Don't need to worry about that and stop bringing that BS up. You know, up.
Right.
But what's more important is when has your country been peaceful?
Right. I mean, that also leads me to think, like, I've also been hearing people defend Kaepernick in, like, a certain way, saying, well, you know, he's not disrespecting the flag necessarily. He's just protesting. And I'm saying, why is the conversation shifting towards that? Why is the conversation shifting towards whether or not he's respecting the flag by taking a knee? I'm not sure, like you said, that he has any reason to be respecting that flag right now if this country can't even respect people of color and people like him and people of color outside of this country as well, and caring only about, like, imperialistic goals and Western goals. I'm not sure why we should be respecting the flag necessarily. So I think that's another element to this discussion that we should be talking about as well.
Right, without a doubt. I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. We have some callers online, and callers, I see you on line one and line two, and we're going to bring you into the discussion so you can, you know, voice your comment or questions. It's very, very important, you know, that you know, we get you on air as well. But what we're going to do first is we're going to listen to something that was put on Black Agenda Report, Glenn Ford, you know, a few years ago. It talks about the violent nature of the United States of America. And I just can't get over when I hear, like, even like these liberals, these white liberals on TV, well, I've got no problem with them protesting as long as they're peaceful. Like, they have to put that caveat in there. Well, you know what? You freaking buffoon, you moron, you disingenuous hypocrite. All right, I've never seen you, Mr. Liberal, and make no bones about it. Many of us, unfortunately, know who our adversary is when we look at the Republican Party. They know, but then unfortunately, there's such confusion that we look at the Democratic Party, we think that they're not an adversary as well, that they're on the side of human rights and justice, and they're peaceful, peace first, and negotiations, you know, before. Well, that's not the case. But these buffoons, they want to talk and be all patronizing and say, as long as they're doing a peaceful protest, or look, you know. But when's the last time, Miranda, that they got on the microphone and they challenged their country and said, you know what? This country doesn't play peacefully. This country bombs human beings all around the globe.
Exactly.
Bombs human beings all around the globe. So who the hell are you to sit there and lecture and to tell folks that, you know, that are already being peaceful, that, you know, you're happy that the protests have been peaceful and so forth? When's the last time you got on the microphone and you challenged your own government,
right,
for its violent, destructive, deadly, nefarious actions throughout the globe? Not just decades ago, but all the way, yes, in 2017, and going back to its violent inception, you know, of the title United States of America. So this is Glenn Ford and Black Agenda Report. On the other end, we're going to welcome on some callers, take some questions and comments from callers. And without further ado, here's Glenn Ford with Black Agenda Report.
The gruesome murders in Tucson have prompted a huge chorus of establishment voices to call for a ratcheting down of political rhetoric, lest the more mentally unbalanced among us become unhinged, as is thought to have been the case with the Arizona shooter. At times like these, it is considered unseemly to put such tragedies into a larger American context of violence. A bit like going to a funeral and mentioning that lots of people died on the same day as the dearly departed, which would be a crude and boorish thing to do. The problem is Many of the mourners in this virtual national funeral procession have already brought their own agendas to the sad occasion. The rich and powerful believe it is their privilege to preach over the bodies in order to properly spin the victims into the hereafter. And that means that the rest of us must also treat the sad occasion as a political event, and so I will. Lots of people do die from the violence that America's political system engenders. Tens of thousands every year here at home, and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, around the world. The U.S. is uniquely violent among the rich nations of the planet, and that is because of its fundamental political history and social and economic arrangements. American class and racial structures are not only the fruits of great historical crimes of horrific violence, they also require unending applications of violence in order to sustain the prevailing social and economic order. Therefore, when those who have grown rich from organized violence, who are the same people who have made America, in Dr. Martin Luther King's words, the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, start talking about ratcheting down the rhetoric so as not to encourage violence, it's time for us to do the opposite. We must become fixated on violence, hyper-conscious of the violence that is inflicted on our communities and on peoples and nations around the planet by the people who benefit from what Dr. King called the triple evils: racism, militarism, and materialism. Put in other terms, that's white supremacy, U.S. imperialism, and rule of the rich. Those who profit from the existence of the triple evils are the fountainheads of the great violence that afflicts our nation and the world. It is no wonder that the most racist political organizations, like the Tea Party, are also the greatest fomenters of domestic violence. They are political heirs to the slave master, who could not have existed without daily application of the most extreme violence on the slave. The militaristic and imperial American state fosters a mass culture of violence that saturates the society at large, inculcating disrespect for human life in general and absolute contempt for the lives of non-Europeans the world over. And the values of the rich, most especially the Wall Streeters that exercise complete hegemony over the machinery of government and the communications apparatus, are those of the mass killer, because the rich few can only remain in power by being prepared to murder the many who have nothing. So, by all means, let's examine violence in and from America, and then let's ratchet up the struggle against the real culprits who profit from a culture of violence. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to www.blackagendareport.com.
And, that's Glenn Ford. You already know my feelings about Black Agenda Report. It is, if you are not familiar with that website, that online news magazine, please do yourself a favor. And put down the Washington Post, put down the New York Times, turn off MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, ABC News, Nightline, and tune into, sites like Black Agenda Report, where you can actually see video analysis. You can, tune into Black Agenda Report Radio. All the shows are embedded on their site. Do yourself a favor. And so, Miranda, what did you think real quickly about what we just heard, what Glenn Ford was just talking about?
I mean, that was straightforward. I think he really laid it out clearly. I think he called the U.S. out on its imperialistic tendencies, but I think it's important how much people of color have been used throughout history in order to advance the wealth of a few people in this country.
Yeah, right on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a caller on line one. I see we have an online caller. Line one. Can you hear me? You're live right now. Can you hear me on line one? I'm one. Maybe we have some issues. So let me try with, and I actually know we're having some issues. I got your message, line one. You can try to call in. The call-in number, if you want to call in directly instead of using your computer, the call-in number is 347-945-5191. That's 347-945-5191. So let's take caller two. Caller two in Philadelphia. You're on line two right now on Your World News. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Well,
cool.
Welcome.
Yeah, great show. Thank you. Thank you. I just tuned in, actually, and it's a good show. It's a great show. With everything that's going on in the world with, like, North Korea and, you know, everything that's so, like, really serious, right? I'm surprised that so many people who consider themselves to be American are so butthurt over the fact that people are kneeling during the playing of a national anthem that literally, I don't know if we could use profanity on this, you know, but that literally poops on.
You could say
the
shit.
American
yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to me. Like, you know, everybody talk about the Constitution and freedom of speech and all, but that is actually a form of freedom of speech. Like, you know, that's a protest. That's a peaceful protest. And I don't think it's really about disrespecting the flag, because these people who call themselves patriots are not really patriots. You know, they avoid military service, most of them, I'm sure. You know, they don't go to, like, veteran shelters and veteran hospitals and help veterans. You know, they don't really care about the troops and stuff like that, for real. It just sounds good coming out of their mouth, you know. But they call themselves
right.
patriots, and it's like, come on, man. You know?
Right.
So
right.
I think it's absolutely bogus, and it's like, it's a fake outrage. You know, it's not really about patriotism. It's, you know, when you worship a flag, that's idolatry. You know, but it's
yeah.
not. They call themselves patriots, but I think they really, it's really about keeping quote unquote black people in their place, and, you know, black people knowing their place. You know, that's what it's about.
Yes. You're right on. I couldn't agree more. And from seeing Miranda nod her head, I think she agrees as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they that's why, you know, historically the rich are the ones who are able to literally afford to avoid, you know, drafts and having to do any kind of service. But beyond that, it's important to note, like, you know, and you alluded to this, that, you know, beyond that, if to me, if you're a true patriot, if you know something's wrong in your house, then you go to fix it. You go to fix it. If there's
right.
a leak in the roof, then you want to fix it. There's a lot of leaks in the roof of American society, a lot of stains
yeah.
within that tainted fabric. And instead of removing the funky stains and so forth, they just kind of let it fester, because, you know, it doesn't impact them. So black man, black woman, stay in your place. Indigenous man, indigenous
right.
woman, Latina, Latino,
mm-hmm.
Latinx, stay in your damn position. You're there to entertain
yeah.
us, to appear on movies and TV, carry
yeah.
a football, bounce a basketball, do this, any other, and entertain us. Shut the hell up on Sunday and Saturday, whatever, but don't speak out on critical issues that impact the communities from which you derive. Shut up and entertain us.
Exactly. Like
exactly.
Saying, you know, he took a knee and said Black Lives Matter, and people responded by saying Black Lives Matter only as entertainment for us, and to be like this complacent tool that we can manipulate for wealth and for views. So, yeah, I'm with you.
Now, one thing I must say is that
sure.
the whole Black Lives to call ourselves black is really, you know, because there are absolutely no laws written to protect black people or African Americans. African American has only been a term that's been invented since 1988. You know, so there are absolutely no laws written to protect African Americans or black people. So if I could go a little deeper, these men who are
sure.
taking knees that everyone is being so outraged about, they're not even really, they're not African American. They're actually American Aborigines. And if you read the Star Spangled Banner, there are four verses, and it actually speaks against, it literally poops on the indigenous people of America, you know. It talks about the
right.
slaughtering of the indigenous peoples and how they took over the land, you know, and it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So if anybody should take a knee and protest against that song, it should absolutely be the American Aborigine who have been misnomered as African American. We are the ones who should definitely take a knee and complete protest against that song and everything that the United States Corporation stands for, you know?
It's corporation. Yeah, you're right. It is a corporation. It is a corporation.
Yeah, it's all about money. You know, the military paid, the United States military paid all the sports organizations to incorporate that in the ceremony to make the players in the event seem more patriotic as like a marketing scheme. They don't give a shit about, excuse my language, but they don't care about patriotism and all that. It's money. You know, the United States is a corporation. It's all about money. It's always been,
right.
You know? So.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry.
Well, no, I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you calling, brother. And please, don't be a stranger to the show. Subscribe and keep calling in.
Definitely. I'm subscribing right now, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks. Peace, brother.
Peace. Thanks, you know, for that insightful call from that brother from Philadelphia. We have someone calling from, looks like Boston, Massachusetts. Welcome, Beantown. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hey, how you doing? You're on Your World News. Pretty good.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. So what are your thoughts on this issue on, you know, everything that we've kind of been discussing? We've kind of been discussing the hypocrisy, that we're talking about the racist origins of Francis Scott Key and the song, but also, you know, these people, these liberals on TV and Republicans talking about, oh, you know, I'm glad, I have no problem as long as they're peaceful. But in the same vein, they have never spoken out about the violence, the imperialistic violence that this country carries out on a daily basis, whether it's a Democrat or Republican in office, you know, and this goes all the way back to its, you know, illegal founding. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. It's a country based on slavery and genocide. And unfortunately, I'm just tuning in. I'm having trouble with my connections here, but I heard a little bit of what people said. I didn't want to cover too much of the same ground. But talking about the idea of the anthem and this particular response to it as a thing for uppity Negroes to stay in their place, it is absolutely crystal clear and absolutely racist and obvious that this is what's going on. It's just that white people, A, don't like to hear it, and B, they can't see it. They really can't see it, because if you're surrounded by privilege and your entire ethos and life cycle is part of the supremacy, then you are like a boiling frog. You have no idea until the temperature reaches your comfort point that it's happening around you. You know, this is a thoroughly racist like regime. The sport itself, you know, you will hear people come out and say, constantly say, these millionaire brats, how dare they, these millionaire ingrates, these millionaire blah, blah, blah. Take it in scale. They're creating billions, hundreds of billions of dollars over the course of their collective lifetime, almost all of which is going upstream to, Bob Kraft and Bob Goodell and the owners and oligarchs who control the thing. Remember Chris Rock's saying, this is his spiel about, yeah, I'm rich, but I'm not wealthy. You want to meet someone wealthy? Meet the billionaire who signs my check. You know,
right.
Like this is, it's such bullshit that people, it's a work relation. These people are causing the money to be made. Who cares if they make $7 an hour or $7 trillion an hour? The people are paying for them. They're not paying for Bob Kraft's fat ass to stand out there and make deals. That's not, it's ridiculous. And also the other thing I wanted to touch on was this the politicization of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a crock that is. Like, this, first of all, like one of the prior callers mentioned, this didn't even happen until 2009. The players stayed in the locker rooms. They were dragged out and paid by the military. They weren't, of course. It was part of their contract, part of their salary. But the owners and the franchises were paid to have this rah-rah recruitment. You know, this is an imperial war fest. It was necessary to flog the bleachers to get people interested in recruitment. They canceled the thing for Dale Earnhardt because it didn't work. It didn't result in an uptick in recruitment, so they pulled the plug. So who's cynical here, and who's using this for political ends? It's just repulsive to see.
I appreciate that. I really, really appreciate it. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And before you go, I want to ask you a question. What do you think about the hypocritical rhetoric that comes out of the pie holes of not just Republicans but also Democrats when they continue to bellyache and also start to chime those, you know, war, those drums of war? They're becoming louder and louder towards, you know, possible war, not just necessarily with North Korea, but also with Russia. When they talk about I find it the most hypocritical thing when they continue to talk about the so-called, you know, alleged interference of Russians within the U.S. political system. When this is a country, and correct me if I'm wrong, has been engaged illegally in other countries' political affairs, including destabilizations and coups, for decades. Do you want to chime in about that?
Oh my God, how much time have you got? My head could explode with this shit. It's just incredible the way the U.S. defines itself out of every moral standard that it tries to impose on the West and on the rest of the world. Every single one. Talk about North Korea. It has made, you know, 10 agreements since 1994 and broken every single one. Talk about Russia. That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard in my life. And Democrats shrieking about it, and people even on the so-called imperialist left saying that, Russia is not communist anymore. It's really just an empire. So this is just crap. Russia and China together are the only things in any way restraining the juggernaut of U.S. imperial military crap, you know, just to destroy every country on earth. The U.S. has interfered in like over 80 countries just since the end of World War II. The overthrowing of the democratically elected government of Mossadegh in Iran in 1953, which brought on 25 years of the Shah and his torturers as Savak. 1954, overthrowing the government of Arbenz in Guatemala, right? 1973, the government of of Salvador Allende, which ushered in the years of Pinochet that disappeared. It is ludicrous and hypocritical and also dangerous because now you have the Democrats sounding like red baiters, like McCarthyites. They're the ones, so they're in lockstep. Morgan Freeman is now on loan to the national security state, pimping out the war thing. And that's exactly what Colin Kaepernick was trying to point out. It's getting diluted with the anthem is racist and it's free speech and I have the right. That's not what he meant. He said it very clearly. He said he was kneeling to honor the lives of black men who had been shot and killed by law enforcement. The police state, the brutal assault on communities of color all across the country, which is a mirror of global imperialism's assault on brown people all across the world. That's what this is about. Those issues need to be brought together so that people can get out of this shitstorm that we're in and this period of reaction that is threatening all life on earth.
Man, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Please.
Sorry to go on.
Continue to tune in and please message me offline because I think it'd be appropriate for us to have you on as a guest sometime.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be
Thank
cool.
You
Sorry,
so much.
My setup is so whack, and I can't, you know, everything's so slow. But yeah, I'll get in touch. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, he was on point. He was very much on point.
For real.
Yeah, seriously. We have some people that have been waiting impatiently. We have a caller from Maryland. Caller from Maryland. Are you on?
Yeah, it's me.
Hello. Yeah, how are you doing? You're on Your World News right now.
Hello.
Okay. All right. Something happened. Yes, you're on Your World News right now with Solomon and Miranda.
Yeah, this is Don Mitchell from College Park.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely let us know what your thoughts are on the conversation that's been had so far.
Well, the way I see it is these people are clearly not patriots. They're fetishists. What they're doing is trying to convince you that the symbol of freedom is more important than the freedom it symbolizes. That's a very sick mental attitude to have. That's why I'm laboring at fetishism. And if you'll notice these reactionaries fetishize everything, including guns. And then the worst thing that connects to the topic is they fetishize money. In other words, money is more important to people. And we know at the end of the day, like has been said, that's what this is all about. I'm not really a sports fan. I could care less, about sports. I mean, I'm not down on it as something that people do for exercise and competition, but I mean, to just sit and stare brainlessly at the competition is just not something that's for me. But what I'm really trying to say is, they're acting like interrupting their national pastime. Oh, that's horrid. But that the violence being done to people of color and other marginalized classes isn't. And I wouldn't take up a lot of time because I just said that. But another thing I found ridiculous from what little I know about this is Tim Tebow took a knee to ram the ignorant superstition American belief of Christianity down everybody's throat, and I didn't hear about him politicizing or, religiousizing our pastime and making it inconvenient when we want to, get back to our pointless, boring lives and stare at the TV. So, there's incredible just stupidity and hypocrisy amok in the world today, and what we can do to bring people's consciousness to a higher level is beyond me, but it's good to have shows like this, for instance, and air the actual views instead of the drivel that we're going to get from the mainstream media. So I'll just stop there and allow time for other people.
I appreciate it, but I can ask you one question. You mentioned the corporate media. What do you believe the corporate media is culpable for the millions of lives that have been lost by way of U.S. imperialist wars, even just in the last decade, when we look at Libya, we look at, Yemen, Somalia, Iraq, of course, Afghanistan, Northwest, Waziristan, part of Pakistan. Do you think so?
Absolutely. Look, let's bring it back to the football topic. Several years ago, and they talk about not politicizing it. Again, utter nonsense. Several years ago, as we were being lied, point blank lied and terrorized by the previous Republican idiot boy Bush, and I call it lying and terrorized because not that he scared me, but to your average American idiot that knows nothing, he created a big boogeyman in Iraq to go attack, so your average American moron, just brainlessly like the sheep they are, were like, yeah, we got to go get the terrorists. When he was terrorizing them themselves. He was using fear to scare these morons into attacking yet another country that had nothing to do with anything. That was a mess we created, just like the previous one said about the revolution in Iraq that we I mean, Iran that we precipitated. This was much. This was outgrowth of that very thing, and just happened later. Why we backed Saddam? Saddam was our man. You know, back right. in the Carter area, people were shouting about that Saddam was not the man to put there. But you know, once Bush's father got in, he was the guy that really supported him. But back to my point: football money, mass media, commercialism. Many public interest groups tried to get the message out that the war in Iraq was a bold-faced lie, and their commercials were rejected. You're not even allowed to tell the truth on American TV.
Right, right. Here's that. And can I ask you, it's a question I want to put in perspective, because to me, number one, are you a white male?
Yes.
Okay. So you're a white male, and for you it comes down to justice, right? You see that what is wrong is wrong, regardless of whether, you know, much of the ruling class is looks like you. It comes down to justice. So it seems like you have no issue whatsoever with African Americans, people of color in general, protesting, protesting the injustices that go on in this country by not, you know, saluting the flag or singing that racist song, the national anthem. And I just want to get your perspective on that. And also, do you have any issue? What are your thoughts on, you know, do you have any kind of sentimental attachment to the national anthem itself?
Absolutely not. I mean, as you noticed, I don't know if the poem picked it up, but I just couldn't help but laugh at your question. Absolutely not. And the racial part of this doesn't matter at all, because, I mean, to make a corny-sounding statement, injustice simply
exactly.
doesn't have a color. This is a humanity issue, and, that's all I see it as. The argument is, and this is another thing, white people better wake up and realize, you're being duped. You're being played. The racist scum in this country are morons. They should know better. You know, there's a willful ignorance afoot in this whole anti-science, anti-fact, but pro-religion. It's just absolutely disgusting. And I mean, something I wanted to say about this, since I live in a college town, you know, we hear about a lot about, college campuses stifling free speech and that they're not the, you know, enlightened learning centers they should be, because they stifle free speech. But I don't think free speech applies to this level of racism and Nazism. We fought
right.
a civil war supposedly against that. I know that's not the issue. I didn't do the buy-in, but I mean, on the big picture, we did nationally fight a civil war that at least had something to do with that, and supposedly the perpetuators of that lost. Next, we fought a big-time war against fascism in World War II. And again, that ideology lost. It's all of these things have been tried and don't work. So maybe they could
right.
be taught as history. They could be taught as history. But to insist that things like this be taught as if they have some legitimacy is absolutely ridiculous. The reason racism isn't taught is because it can't withstand the intellectual and moral scrutiny that it takes to become an academic-type discipline. If your discipline was worthy of being taught, it would be taught. And the final word I have for these people, you're not interested in learning. You're just interested in hearing what you already think. So you have no business on a college campus, because you can pick up all the garbage bullshit like racism and bigotry and reactionary conversations at the corner bar.
so you would be just as well served. Go to your corner bar and listen to the dumb rednecks there. Why do you want to pollute journalism, the educational system? Everything has to be polluted with your ignorance, and I'm strong on this. I include religion. I think religion is a personal thing for everybody, but has absolutely no business involved other than how it moves people to act and how they express their religiosity. That's fine. How they express it is one thing, but to insist that your religion has to be believed as a fact and that you're going to shove it down everybody's throats and everybody that isn't you, whatever is and you are is wrong, that is not the point of the First Amendment. First Amendment's there to broaden our discussion of things that matter, not to limit them to just, you know, and a final thing about this, there has to be a credible standard, a scientific or academic standard for whatever truth is that we're going to consensually agree to. You know, this notion that whatever you want to believe is the truth, I mean, where are we going to get with that? If one guy can believe it's 2 plus 2 is 4, and one can believe it's 5, and the next guy can believe it's 8 billion, and the next guy can believe it's negative 13, how are we ever going to do anything?
Right on. I appreciate you calling, and you know, please continue to support the show and listen, and you know, we'd love to have you, you know, call back in, you know, anytime that you're available. I really appreciate that. And as a little gift, you know, might you be a fan of the late great George Collin?
Absolutely.
Well, we have something for you. We have a little gift for you. Thank you for calling, and please continue to listen, okay?
All right. Thanks for the chance to speak. See you.
All right. Well, folks, we have one more segment to go, and that segment will be myself and Miranda closing the show out. But before that segment, we're going to have a little interlude, and this is for our last caller. This is George Collin, and the late, great, insightful comedian George Collin.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the war in the Persian Gulf. Big doings in the Persian Gulf. You know my favorite part of that war? It's the first war we ever had that was on every channel plus cable. And the war got good ratings too, didn't it? Got good ratings. Well, we like war. We like war. We're a warlike people. We like war because we're good at it. You know why we're good at it? Because we get a lot of practice. This country's only 200 years old, and already we've had 10 major wars. We average a major war every 20 years in this country, so we're good at it. And it's a good thing we are. We're not very good at anything else anymore. Huh? Can't build a decent car, can't make a TV set or a VCR worth a fuck. Got no steel industry left, can't educate our young people, can't get health care to our old people, but we can bomb the shit out of your country, all right. Huh? We can bomb the shit out of your country, all right. Especially if your country is full of brown people. Oh, we like that, don't we? That's our hobby. That's our new job in the world, bombing brown people. Iraq, Panama, Grenada, Libya, you got some brown people in your country. Tell them to watch the fuck out, or we'll goddamn bomb them. Well, when's the last white people you can remember that we bombed? Can you remember the last white? Can you remember any white people we've ever bombed? The Germans, those are the only ones, and that's only because they were trying to cut in on our action. They wanted to dominate the world. Bullshit, that's our fucking job. Now we only bomb brown people. Not because they're trying to cut in on our action, just because they're brown. Now you probably noticed I don't feel about that war the way we were told we were supposed to feel about that war, the way we were ordered and instructed by the United States government to feel about that war. You see, I tell you, My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I don't just roll over when I'm told to. Sad to say, most Americans just roll over on command. Not me. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Nothing. Zero. Nope. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country, who in the case of the Persian Gulf War were nothing more than unpaid employees of the Department of Defense, and who most of the time function as kind of an unofficial public relations agency for the United States government. So I don't listen to them, I don't really believe in my country, and I gotta tell you folks, I don't get all choked up about yellow ribbons and American flags. I consider them to be symbols, and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded. Me, I look at war a little bit differently. To me, war is a lot of prick-waving, okay? Simple thing, that's all it is. War is a whole lot of men standing out in the field waving their pricks at one another. Men are insecure about the size of their dicks, and so they have to kill one another over the idea. That's what all that asshole jock bullshit is all about. That's what all that adolescent macho male posturing and strutting in bars and locker rooms is all about. It's called dick fear. Men are terrified that their pricks are inadequate, and so they have to compete with one another to feel better about themselves. And since war is the ultimate competition, basically men are killing each other in order to improve their self-esteem. You don't have to be a historian or a political scientist to see the bigger dick foreign policy theory at work. It sounds like this. What? They have bigger dicks? Bomb them! And, of course, the bombs and the rockets and the bullets are all shaped like dicks. It's a subconscious need to project the penis into other people's affairs. It's called fucking with people. So, as far as I'm concerned, that whole thing in the Persian Gulf was nothing more than a big prick-waving dick fight. In this particular case, Saddam Hussein had questioned the size of George Bush's dick. And George Bush had been called a wimp for so long. Wimp rhymes with limp. George has been called a wimp for so long that he has to act out his manhood fantasies by sending other people's children to die. Even the name Bush. Even the name Bush is related to the genitals without being the genitals. A Bush is a sort of passive secondary sex characteristic. Now, if this man's name had been George Boner, well, he might have felt a little bit better about himself and we wouldn't have had any trouble over there in the first place. This whole country has a manhood problem, big manhood problem in the USA. You can tell from the language we use. Language always gives you away. What did we do wrong in Vietnam? We pulled out. Not a very manly thing to do, is it? When you're fucking people, you gotta stay in there and fuck them good. Fuck them all the way. Fuck them till the end. Fuck them to death. Fuck them to death. Fuck them to death. Stay in there and keep fucking them until they're all dead. We left a few women and children alive in Vietnam, and we haven't felt good about ourselves since. That's why in the Persian Gulf, George Bush had to say, "This will not be another Vietnam." He actually used these words. He said, "This time we're going all the way." Imagine an American president using the sexual slang of a 13-year-old to describe his foreign policy. If you want to know what happened in the Persian Gulf, just remember the names of the two men who were running that war, Dick Cheney and Colin Powell. Somebody got fucked in the ass.
that was the late, great George Carlin. Comedians like that, they exist, but they certainly are not promoted. And George Carlin was right on point with much of the comedy that he just presented and what we just heard. And this is the last segment. This is where Miranda and I kind of close things out. And yes, we will leave you with a musical gem for you to listen to. And no, it's not going to be any of the corporate-backed hip-hop that we see on BET or MTV. And as we know, BET and MTV and VH1, they're all owned by the same white corporation. Yes. So a white corporation does own black entertainment television. That's known as Viacom. So which controls, and they say, and they green light what hip-hop music is going to be played, what rap music is going to be played. And they say, Dead Prez, look at this video, Dead Prez, Malcolm Garvey, Huey. Oh, no, I think not. No, yeah, it sounds good, but no, we're not going to put that there because we don't want the masses of young, youth of color being exposed to that kind of hip-hop. Hip-hop that actually is empowering, hip-hop that gets them to think critically about a range of issues. No, we want them to listen to the most destructive, racially stereotypical, racist imagery, misogynistic. I mean, we can go on and on. You know, we want them to be exposed to that. Folks, you have to think about who is greenlighting this shit. Who greenlights it? So, yes, there's a certain amount of culpability and responsibility when we look at artists and so forth. But many of these artists are young and misguided. They get into the game, they're young and misguided. I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just giving you the real truth. So if you're from a community that where drugs run rampant, oftentimes you talk about, we got to get the drug dealers, the head honchos out of the community in order for the drugs to stop. So why is it different when we think about music? Why don't we think about who is distributing this? Who's distributing this mental poison, this psychological poison? Who's distributing it? Well, these large mega media corporations, conglomerates, they're the ones that are doing it. While they greenlight this shit, they are also censoring and stifling and suppressing other stuff. And so, hey, I'm not a person that is a big advocate for censorship. All I'm saying is balance. So what you witness right on TV, so if someone says, oh, man, what are you talking about? You want to censor? Listen, you're being censored right now. When you tune into any of these radio stations and TV and networks, you're being censored. They have censored out the most socio-political rap that's out there. They have censored it out, okay? So balance would be to have one of these mumble rap rappers, whoever these folks are, have one of them and then follow it up with Nurubi Sela or Yasiin Bey or Immortal Technique or, that would be balanced. That would be balanced, tit for tat, and then let the people, the youth be the determining factor. Because I'll tell you, I'm a product of that. I'm a product of being exposed to that kind of rap on a daily basis. And we made decisions. We chose. And we gravitated to folks like Public Enemy and Boogie Down Productions, KRS-One, and Queen Latifah, just as much as we gravitated towards, so-called party rappers. But even back then, there was so much political rap out there, Miranda, way before your time, that even the party rappers felt compelled on their albums to have at least one song that spoke about some critical issue or something culturally edifying that's going on. So all that's going on, and Miranda, I want you to have the quasi-last word before we close out. But my last words are what I want people to remember. As we discuss Francis Scott Key, the bloody white supremacist, racist, slave owner, and then his song, which is racist and violent to the core. Racist, talking about bombs bursting in the air. Racist when we talk about, no refuge for the slave or the underling. Him being a slave master himself. This is not a song that needs to be thought of in any kind of sentimental, teary-eyed way. all right, that we, you know, I need to cling to this song. Now, this song needs to be, matter of fact, if Miranda, if we were living in a racially just society, in an equitable society, not an equal society, but an equitable society. Equity is what we want. Equity. Equity. Everybody having a comfortable living standards. You know, I don't want to be, we don't need to be equally poor. We need to be equitably living comfortably, you know, to each their own, to each their needs, to each their wants, to each their needs. This song, if we were living in that kind of society, this song would not exist. There would be a move to create a new national anthem, one that embraces all the people that currently live in this country, not written at a time when white people were the slave masters, were the oppressors. You know, when you had white men who were oppressing. Large segments of the population of this country being Native Americans and enslaved Africans. You know, we need to have something that is written for these times, for a new day, for a new equitable, racially just society that respects all backgrounds, cultural, you know what I'm saying, gender, sexual orientation. We can go on and on and on and on. But we don't have such a song. As we are broadcasting this, there are people being pulled over because of the color of their skin, and they are being harassed. Dare I say, today, somebody is being brutalized somewhere by state-sponsored law enforcement. These things, as we speak right now, the U.S. still is engaged in the longest-running war in U.S. history, the war in Afghanistan. That is going on right now. And as we know, just a few days ago, the U.S. executed an airstrike that killed several civilians in Afghanistan. All right? So the number goes on and on and on, and most people don't know about it because those numbers are just numbers to them. They're just numbers to the media. It's called collateral damage. So no need to report back to it, you know. Those lives are thought of much differently than U.S., you know, servicemen and servicewomen's, you know, lives. And so think about these things, folks. Think about these things. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't utter from your mouth, you know, I'm really impressed that these protesters are peaceful. What did you expect them to be? Of course they're peaceful. All right? Don't utter that from your mouth, but, you know, and especially since you, if you don't offer any kind of criticism for the violence that your government carries out, when I say government, I put quotes around yours, that carries out day in and day out, domestically and abroad, bombings, airstrikes, okay? So Miranda, we want peaceful protests, but we don't want peaceful negotiations. So we want peaceful protests, but we don't want to talk a damn about peaceful negotiations with, you know, to stifle and to completely eradicate the number of innocent civilians being killed in these engagements, period.
Right.
So think about this, folks. Think about that, okay? It is not a song. It is not something to be standing for on its basis, but then we look at the meat on the bone in terms of what Kaepernick wanted this protest to be. It is most righteous to take a knee, not even to get up. You could sit down on your tushy and just wait for the song's over and let anybody around you, you know, want to, you know, turn a little stank eye to you. And if they say something, then you drop these nuggets of knowledge on them. Did you know X, Y, and Z? Did you know X, Y, and Z? Did you know X, Y, and Z? Well, that's why I'm not standing. That's why I'm not standing. All right? Thank you. Let me get back to watching this game or what have you. And hopefully it's a soccer game or something else. You know, we could get on we could go on for days about the NFL and that league and you know what that league has stood for, that, you know, and how the players continue to be exploited. You can go on and on, but I digress and I turn it over to my co-host, Miranda, super junior college student, president of SJP. You know, what are your final thoughts about this program and the content that we've covered?
I guess my final thoughts are just how we can approach these issues as students. And I just feel like right now so many people I know are so afraid to speak out on things that they believe in just because they're worried about making other people uncomfortable. And also, like, we as people of color all the time are trying to silence ourselves in order to not make white people feel uncomfortable about certain things. But protests are uncomfortable. Protests make people feel things and emotions, and I don't think that we should be scared of that because that's what makes the most change. So, yeah, like, we as students, we can sit during the national anthem. We go to sports games here. But also, I encourage everyone to go out to an organizing meeting. If you're listening and if you're a student, find out what you can actually do if you believe in this, if you believe in the cause. I don't think it's enough to just, you know, tweet out something or share a Facebook link. I think you actually need to get up and go, take it to the streets, talk to your friends, engage in these really uncomfortable conversations that lead to something good, just because I think that people will listen. And if you are unapologetic about what you actually believe in, then others will be too.
Right on. Right on. I got nothing else to add. We're going to be let Brother Ali take us out with American Nightmare. Until next time, for Miranda, I'm Solomon. You've been listening to Your World News in conjunction with UNITV Media. This is the place where journalism and activism are most certainly not mutually exclusive. Until next time, peace.
Crack another brew. Ghetto public school, leak rain from the roof. Troubled youth, what's your name? Straight from the womb. Cycle coming true. Your father flew through the same trap door that you one day plummet through. Ain't nothing new, rugged like a 100 proof. Place where they say the easy way is jumping from the roof. Police coming through. They rough, handcuff, grab nuts, point guns to you no matter what you do. How to quote unquote justice move. If you protect us, then who protect us from you? There's a couple you, workers, but they few. Far between, they can't reach but one or two. You only busting loose when you got numbers glued to your back, whether that's a jersey or a jumpsuit. You wonder what you do to make the world punish you. That's when your sense of right and wrong start to come and lose. Hustlers recruit right in front of school. Fuck the rules, you literally got nothing to lose. They show it on the news, then people judging you as if you had a fucking chance. This is what you choose. Can't sing nothing but the blues. American nightmare, the God's honest truth.
It's an American nightmare. We don't play fair. We take away fear.
I'm lost all alone, out on my own. My mind gone, pocket with stones that I pitch to these unknowns. Cops in the room, undercover, trying to bust us. But cops get their heads blown. I'm in a dead zone. I ain't supposed to be here. I'm a ghost with a pistol blowing smoke. Don't you need here? See here? The fine print, you ain't read that. The I don't give a fuck part approach you where you sleep at. Black. Your whole world seems to fade to it. And I'm a passerby, acting like I ain't doing. Plain stupid. The drugs must have done an extra bleed. I get the dry heat. Nauseous cough, I came vomit. Stomping. Wicked this way coming. The ending of days. God's promise has sprung to the point where we at now. And I have come too far for me to back down. These devilish ways. These voices I hear from the grave speak to me saying, kill that motherfucker. I'm a slave to it.
It's an American nightmare.